Praise the Lord, I'm here. That's better than the alternative, isn't it? I'm Scott Cook. I think most of y'all I've met. Someone told me we're like a big Sunday school class at some churches, you know. But I like that because I could meet everybody. I want to read something that God told me to read, if I can remember it. Here we go. Can you see me? Am I all right? This is better than me having to go up there. Does that make sense? And I'll explain why in a minute. But out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, now there's not a PowerPoint. Now I know that's blasphemy almost in this church. But there's no PowerPoint. Is that okay? I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way like my pastor used to do. He just pulled the Bible out. And you can pull your Bible out or pull out your iPad. No texting, by the way, all right. But pull out your phone. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll pray. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Now, I'm going to be low-key so that I have energy to get through. Now, normally, you know me, I wouldn't do that. I'd just let it go, let it rip. But I'm going to try there. But although I might get, I don't know. But I'm going to try and stay low-key. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. In other words, I didn't come really talented at speaking. Does that make sense? Or of wisdom, in other words, philosophy of man. Declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And that is me today. And my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, human philosophy, but in demonstration of the Spirit, pneuma, and of power, dunamis, that your faith, not your works, that your faith should not be in the philosophy of men, but in the dunamis of God. Theo. Now that's pretty straight. And the thing that God has warned me and encouraged me both is that I am not to appear more than I am today. Or to get up here and try to impress you. Because I've done that before. But rather in the demonstration of His power and for His glory, and for Jesus. Does that make sense? So let's pray for a second. Father, we thank You that You are Creator God. Your ways are higher than our ways. I don't understand them. And in these last 40 days, I know I haven't fully understood it. And I thank You that You are omnipotent, all-knowing, and omnipresent. And You create, and You do not explain Yourself, because You're God. But You love us. And I believe today You have a word. And so what I'm saying to you, and what I've told you this week, is in my frailty, and You know all of it, there's a vessel here that if you'd like to speak, it's available. And Your flock is here. And they're Your flock. They're Your people. And so just do whatever in the power of God that You want to do by Your Spirit. And we just we want to receive it by faith. In Jesus' name I pray it. And all people said, amen. Amen, amen means yes, let it be. So we've just said, Lord, whatever You want, it's what we want. to give you a little, first of all, I want to thank everyone, anyone who's prayed for me or for my wonderful wife, Cindy, or our family. Thank you for your emails, for your notes, for your text. They are never, ever a bother. They are an encouragement to me, and thank you. I really appreciate it. My wife appreciates it. I read all of them, and if I can respond, I've done. I think some of them I have, but so thank you. To give you, and again, it's precious. The body of Christ is just precious, isn't it? In the body of Christ, because Jesus, I have seen, works through His body in every way, shape imaginable. He just works through His body, and so I'm so grateful for it. So thank you. I love you, and I am grateful for you. My wife is grateful for you. And we have wept over you, and for you, and because of you, your love. They will know us by what? Our love. And you have shown me that love. I want to give some context, because some of you may not have it, about, well, we've been in this church 2.5 years, and about, I guess, 2.5 months ago, late May, I was at my desk, and I began to feel like I had socks on my ankles, and they were tingling and numb. And to give you a context of what happened this year, my mom passed away on February the 20th from cancer. My dad is already dead. I lost my job on April 30th, a job I'd had for 10 years. And then my son graduated from high school. That in and of itself is a minor miracle. You can cut that part out. But he went to college on Friday, and I sent my youngest off. So now one's graduated. He came back and lived with me. He's still living with me. That's good. Yeah, I won't talk about that. Cut that out, too. So he's almost 25. I could just do a message on that, encourage most of you, probably. So there's been a lot going on, but in the late May, I had this symptom, and I just thought it was stress. I didn't think anything about it. And then going into late June, it continued. Now, I'd always had a little tingling in my fingers and feet, and that had gone on for about 8 years. I didn't think anything of it. And then July the 5th, I woke up, and this, whatever this thing was, had exploded. It was in my hands, it was in my arms, it was in my legs. I was tingling, I had pain points, I obviously had nerve pain. Again, I thought, well, maybe I'm just not getting enough sleep. And as I began to research it on the internet, I scared myself to death. Be careful about all that, but folk, you know, just be careful with medical stuff online. It continued since that time. Every day I've had progressing symptoms. Muscle pain, muscle weakness in my legs, muscle weakness in my arms, dizziness, imbalance. I tend to, if you see me walking to the left, it's not because I intend to. I don't want to, but I just do. Sometimes I feel like there's a vice on my head, that there's pressure. Sleep has become difficult. And some days are better than others. Fatigue can be very bad. Today's a little worse than it was yesterday. Every day is different. And as you can imagine, it's been life-altering. Because I went from a guy that did whatever I wanted to today, I'm just grateful to get out and walk around the block. A lot of people, they're thinking about going to Europe. I just want to go to IHOP. So I told my wife yesterday, I'm grateful to get to IHOP. And so what's happened here, as you can imagine, is the devil has really attacked as far as my mind and as far as my soul, and it's been a spiritual war. And some of you've been in worse shape than I am. I don't know, but I've been to a lot of doctors, neurologists, internists. I've been in the emergency room twice. Once because I had numbness in my face. They said, oh my goodness, he's having a stroke. And so, oh boy, this has a back on. Great. I went there. They checked me all out. I've had 3 MRIs, 2 CAT scans, 1 with contrast, 1 without. I don't know how many EKGs. I had an EKG yesterday. Chest exams. They've taken more blood than I thought I had in my body. I don't even know I had that much blood. One time they took 15 vials. I was just like, are you going to finish or are you just having fun? You know, this is a good time to you. He said, no, Mr. Cook, we got to take it. I said, it seems to me like you're enjoying yourself way too much. But, and they've tested everything and they've come back and said, as far as we can tell, there's nothing wrong with you. You're for 53, you're in pretty good shape. Except that we're looking at you and we can tell you're not. Can you imagine? There's a frustration that goes with that in the flesh. And so whatever it is, there's tremors that go with it. My jawbones and my teeth chatter at times. And I don't know what it is. I don't know how bad it is, but it progresses. But I have a God who has allowed it to be hidden. And there's a reason. And there may be things in your life that God's hidden. And that let me tell you, there's a reason. We don't always know. Friday, I asked the elders to come over and pray over me. And it was a precious time, wasn't it, Kevin? I really appreciate it. Let me tell you, these guys are precious, precious elders that God has given us. And I confess known sin. And I try to be as honest as I know to be. And because James 5 says, let the elders come and anoint you with oil and pray over you. And if a person has sinned, they'll be forgiven. And the Lord will lift them up, save them and lift them up. And if you confess your sins one to another, that means crimes there. Confess your crimes one to another. And so, anyway, my point being is I want to give that quick context that yesterday I saw a doctor and he was just as confounded yesterday as he was the day before, but we're doing some more tests. And so in all of this, what does God have to say to me and to you? Do I have hope? I do. Have I felt hopeless at times? I have not. Does that make it, you understand that difference? Because we are spirit, soul, and body. And so I'm not going to present something to you that's not true about my flesh or my emotions. But I will tell you in my spirit what is true. And the Lord, this morning, I had this little, it's interesting, I do have a little outline here. I couldn't come up here, and of course I can't come up without a folder. You've got to have your folder. But I had an outline, and I'm scrapping it a little bit, because God led me to Isaiah. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. And this seemed to be what the Lord was talking to me about. And I'm glad that this woman is right here to my left, Cindy, because this keeps me honest. Because I think it'll be a blessing to you. And Isaiah is writing here all that God is telling him. Isaiah is a prophet to the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. And this is probably around 750 B.C. And he gets up and there's a complaint from Israel. And God quotes the complaint And in 27, he says, "Why do you say, O Jacob," he's talking about Judah, "and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord." Have you ever felt that way? "And my just claim is passed over by God." Now there's another translation says, "My cause is disregarded by my God." Ever felt that way? "Have you not known?" And so God answers them, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak." This is key. "And to those who have no might, he increases" what? "Strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Well, what does that mean to us today in this situation? In this verse 27, he says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God?" Now, when I first fell ill, I had fear. I mean, I'm just confessing to you. Because this thing was progressing and I had no control over it. This is not like you got the flu and you'll be better in 10 days. This thing just kept going and going and going. And I thought, matter of fact, I asked my wife one time, I said, "How far can the devil go? Because it feels like a sucker punch." But Israel was saying, "Hey, God, you don't know what we're going through. And God, our way is hidden from the Lord." Now we're spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is where Jesus dwells. Our heart is the depth of our soul. Our souls, mind, will, and emotions. And then there's our body. And they are all one. But they're distinct. Does that make sense? You're listening to my soul, and I hope my heart. But more importantly, I hope Jesus in my spirit. And you're seeing my body. Does that make sense? So when this happened to me, the first thing the devil began to work on is my emotion. And one of the things that trials do, I am learning, I'm not there yet, is it reveals deeper things that you and I can't get to and see. Does that make sense? So I'm learning, there's some fears and anxieties and worries that have dominated me in my soul. Because I've described emotions like a crazy man in a padded room. And when this thing happened, my crazy man took off. You ever been there? Am I the only one there? I don't know. Okay. I'm looking at some deer in the headlights. I don't know. And I know this is serious business. I'm trying to add some levity to it as we go because I don't want to get you down. But you ever been there? Man, I was there. And my wife at times, we'd go to Waterburg every Saturday and I'd get the Saturday sermon from my wife. And she'd say, "Now, Scott, remember who you are. Remember this." That's what a godly woman does, by the way. She brings you back to the Word of God and Jesus. You want to be a godly wife? Bring your husband back to the God's Word, not what you think. Bring it back to Jesus. And you'll do him more good than you can imagine. And Jesus will be pleased with it. Because it's not you. You're not telling somebody what you want or think. You're just leading them to the truth. It's wonderful. Do it in love. Okay? Do it in love. But do it. Okay, now you get the joke. All right. Because, anyway, I'll leave it at that. But I mean to tell you, I would feel even despair at times. And we're human. And God knows it. And you know what I love about Jesus? He never, we talked about them getting in the boat and everything. He never got down on the fact that those guys were human. He just said, "Where's your faith?" In other words, he was trying to lead them to the answer for the fear. And that's what Jesus has been doing in my life. Matter of fact, the Lord reminded me, it's been 40 days, brother. And the Lord has continually trying to focus me on Jesus. But I know where these folks are at. My way is hidden to the Lord. I can understand that. But it's not. Because we are spirit, soul, and body. God knows it. He knows that. And if you've been depressed before, you've had depression, and I've had some depression here in the last 40 days. If you've had, don't get down on yourself about it. But go to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Go to Jesus. And sometimes doctors need help. I have doctors helping me. You might need doctors to help you. But go to Jesus. Don't leave Jesus out of that equation. It's all come to lead us to Jesus. And then in verse 28, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." So when you look at that, what he's trying to say is, listen, you need to understand who God is. And he's saying, haven't you heard? Don't you know? Let me remind you. He's the everlasting God, and he's the Creator of the ends of the earth. What does that mean? One is it means he has no beginning and he has no end. He's God, the I Am. And he's the Creator. Here, the idea of the ends of the earth means everything. He created specifically you and me. And while I'm sick, and I sometimes am wondering, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? He's the Creator of all. And he does know. And because he's the Creator of the ends of the earth, even though our world would choose to believe there is no God, Romans 1 makes it clear that inside of them they know there is. I was reading that yesterday, or 2 days ago. He neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. Aren't you glad that when it comes to dealing with you, God never faints nor is he weary? He doesn't look at you and go, "Oh, she messed up again." He doesn't look at you and go, "Wow, when will he get that concept?" Because he doesn't faint or weary. He never tires. He never tires of loving you. He never tires of sanctifying you. And he's doing a work in me, and I don't know fully everything that he's doing. I'm not there yet. But I know he's doing it. And he's doing that in you. And you may not be going through what I'm going through. You may have gone through something worse. I don't know. But I will tell you this. God never, he never faints, nor is he weary of working in your life. He is concerned with all of it, with every bit of it. And the reason is, his understanding is what? Unsearchable. He knows beyond anything that we know, and if his understanding is up here, ours is down below the dirt. And he understands your situation. He gets it. He knows your fears. He knows your anxieties. He understands that. He calls you to trust him and not to live in anxiety and fear, but to live in him. One of the things that I am learning, again, I'm not there, I'm learning it, is that the Lord values trust in him above all that man values and esteems in success and achievement. I want to say that again. Again, I'm learning this, Father. I'm learning it. I'm not there yet. The Lord values trust in Him above all that man values and esteems in success and achievement. Let that sink in for a second. I have a feeling I'm in a room of a bunch of doers. Achievers. Because I've met a lot of y'all. I'm a doer and achiever. I have ambition. Matter of fact, I had to confess that the other day with the elders. I'm an ambitious person. If I had my way, I'd teach this lesson. I would have taught the lesson at 9, preached here, gone to lunch with one of y'all, then go to your house and disciple you, go to a small group tonight and give you another word, and then go to somebody who needs to be encouraged and disciple them at 9. And I would have thought that was a great day. Or go home and work on business. Me, ask my wife, I'm a horrible patient. She's told me that. I'm just a horrible patient. I don't take my medicine when I'm supposed to, and I won't lay down. And she reminded me of it again this morning. First thing when I woke up. It was wonderful. What a blessing. Some of my dad said, well, if it's true, you know. Okay, back to my point. Is that God values faith, not your achievement. I have had two businesses that I've set aside, and unless God does something pretty quick, I've got a company that wants to hire me that I'm going to tell them, listen, I'm physically incapable of working. And in so doing, I will lose some things, obviously. There's another company called me Friday from Canada. Canada. And they've got something going on in Dallas. They want to talk to me about it. But again, I may have to tell them as well, I can't do it. What I'm saying to you is there's nothing wrong with achievement. It's not sin to achieve. It's not sin to want to do something with pride and with excellence. But can I ask you a question? Is that what defines you? Because I'm learning, Father, I'm not there. I'm learning that I have allowed that to define me. When you lay around all day, there's not much achievement in that. When you see other people doing things, and the only thing you can do is lay down or take a walk to the den and back, where's the achievement in that? But God says, because I don't want to cry for a reason. If you walk to the den and back and trust me, I value that higher than anything you could have done in that business. Does that make sense? That's a different way of living, folk, isn't it? That the God who his understanding is unsearchable values that. A mother who can get a load of laundry and do it in faith. God says, I value that. A father who prays with his children at night says, I value that. Because it's by faith. You're trusting me. I don't care about your achievement. Scott, I can do anything. I don't care if you graduate cum laude. It's of no value to me. If it's without faith. But if you get out of your bed and walk outside and you trust me, it's precious to me. And it's precious to him if you do that in your situation. It's precious to him. Isn't that a simple walk? Isn't Jesus simple? That's a simple way. But we complicate things so much, you see. We complicate it. And again, I'm working on it because there's so much loss and I'm grieving a lot of it. And so God's working with me on that. And then he says, he gives power. And I love this. To the weak and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Now, one of the things that I struggle with, I don't know about you, but is I want to do it. I get up in the morning and I do it. That kind of goes with the achievement thing. And I'll give God a sort of cursory, Lord, work through it. Work in me. But Jesus wants to be our life. And I'm learning, I'm not there yet, but I'm learning, Father, that there is power in weakness, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Now here's the devil's view of this. He gives power to those who help themselves, and to those who lift themselves up by their bootstraps, he helps. That's the devil's lie. Most of us are so strong, God can't do anything for us. Make sense? And it's in weakness. Now, Paul, and I am doing this with fear and trembling because of what's happening, but Paul said three times to God, remove this thorn in the flesh. Now, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it must have been pretty bad for the Apostle Paul to feel, it's so bad, I need you to remove it. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient. Is present tense. Sufficient what? For you. For my power does what? Works best in your weakness. And then Paul says, what a good attitude. Well then, therefore I will gladly boast in what? My weakness. That the power of God might what? Work through me. Yes. And I'll be content. Oh, see, I'm not there with Paul. I mean, I read that and I'm like, Paul, buddy, whoa. I'm content in my weakness, for I know it is all for Christ's good. And in my tribulations, in my persecutions, and in my difficulties, and in my stresses. For when I'm weak, what? Oh, man, that's not good. For when I'm weak, what? Then you're strong. Beloved, do we live that way? No. How do we live? In our strength. When I get out of bed, I'm reminded because of weakness in my muscles. Today it was weakness in my back and in my neck. I'm weak. And I never had to have God help me get out of bed. But I was holding. You have to be my life. And get me out of bed. Or I'll just sit here in self-pity. In my flesh, I'll sit here and I'll worry and I'll panic. And I'll do all this other stuff. The other day, and I don't know if this is because of medicine. I think it is, but my heart was racing. And it had been racing, I guess, what, for at least a week, week and a half? Friday night, it was going 111 beats a minute. I could not get it to stop. And you try going to bed when your heart's racing? It's hard. And finally, now I've stopped one medicine, and I think that's helping, but it's not because I need it. But I started meditating on, I started focusing on Jesus, and I started telling Jesus, you're my life. And I started worshiping Him and praising Him. And my heartbeat came down. It came down. And this morning, it's been a whole lot better. Because why? Weakness. Dear beloved, God gives power to the weak, and He strengthens those who have no strength. But there's so few people that He can do that with, because we want to do it what? Ourselves. And that's our flesh. God knows that. But that's why, that remember that little chart I wrote? Be careful what you write and preach on. And Lord, I want to be honest and true today. I don't want any more. But it's true. Brokenness leads to weakness. And weakness to humility. And humility to abiding. And abiding to fruitfulness. Or excuse me, abiding to rest and rest to fruitfulness. Are you resting? Are you looking to Him for your strength? Or are you doing it yourself? Brother Brian talked a little bit about this today in Hebrews. Is it your strength or His? Which is it? God has to break that so that He gets to do what He wants to do rather than us doing what we want to do. And it's the best thing for us. If it was true of the Apostle Paul, it's probably true of us. Would you agree? And I'm in a room of a bunch of doers, so I got a feeling it's true. But that's what God works in. And then to say one last thing, and I'm going to wrap this up. It's true of a church. God's not looking for a church that has their act together and is strong and develops great PowerPoints, starts on time and ends on time. Amen?
Amen.
Because if that's what our church is about, we need to get back to the starting point. We're not ready for a pastor. That is not what God's looking for. He's looking for a depth of brokenness. He's looking for a depth of weakness. A depth of where we are focused on Jesus. A depth of abiding where He is such our focus that when we get together, He gets to do whatever He wants to do with His children. And when you leave here, you're so weak and dependent that He has to do it. It all comes in faith. And again, I'm not there yet. God's still working it out in me. But He works it out in churches. And beware, beloved, beware of seeking success or an achievement that doesn't require the mighty power of God to get it done. Because it's a fake and a phony. And the devil will let you do it all day. And the world will already know that it's not. They won't tell you, but they know. People won't travel a block to see what you're doing, but they'll travel 1,000 miles to see what God's doing. What God's up to. And then finally, verses 30 and 31, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I was watching the Olympics yesterday, and I'm going long even with no strength, I'm sorry. But Michael Phelps, they did the medley 4x4. Anybody see that? And man, those guys look like they're in shape. I mean, I shouldn't be watching them because I'm like, man, I don't need to be seeing that. But you see, what he's saying here is young. When you're young, you have your health, most people, and you're strong. He says, but you know, even a youth can faint and be weary. Those guys were huffing and puffing after that 4x4. And young men shall utterly fall. And it's the best thing that could ever happen. And I've seen that. And then 31. But those who what? Wait on the Lord. That has the ideal of focus on Jesus. Shall what? Renew their strength. Not in their own ability, but whose ability? His. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And what he's saying here is he wants us to wait and focus on Jesus. One of the things I'm finding is when you're fatigued and you're tired, You don't want to do anything. And God says, wonderful, you can focus on me now. But man didn't highly value that. But God does. God values when we focus on Him. That's why Jesus said, abide in me and what? I'll abide in you. For branch cannot bear fruit of his what? Severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who abide in me and I in him will bear what? Much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. That should be our motto. Apart from Jesus, my works are nothing. I mean, they're nothing. They can look good, but they're nothing. And then he says, you wait on me, you abide in me, I'll renew your strength. It'll be supernatural strength, it won't be fleshly stuff. And then you'll mount it with wings like eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle? Just soar on the wind. An eagle. You ever wish you could just be an eagle, just soar? Where do eagles go? Anywhere they want. He's telling me, if you'll trust me, you'll go anywhere I want you to go by my power, by my strength, by my ability. And it won't be you. All an eagle does is what with their wings? Just spreads them. My friend of mine, Peter Lord, wrote a book, Turkeys and Eagles. He said, you can trot around with the turkeys or you can soar with the eagles, but it's your choice. God will let you trot around with the turkeys if that's what you want. You want to trot around with the turkeys? You can do it. All your Christian life, you can be with the children of Israel out in the desert, trotting around and nothing but a turkey, but you were never made to be a turkey. Do turkeys have wings? And if a turkey gets in the air, now I know wild turkeys can fly, but not very far and not very high. And I would never want to see one compete with an eagle. Would you? What a ridiculous thing that would be. A turkey doesn't take on an eagle because he knows he can't do it. But it's like most Christians are like turkey. Rather than spreading their wings and flying, we trot around. And that's, I've been a turkey in the last 40 days, is what I'm trying to say to you in my flesh. And then at times I've been an eagle and just spread them. And I encourage you, brother, sister, would you spread your wings by faith? And then the wind of the Spirit, as you abide, you don't have to go running. Just spread your wings. Because you're built to soar. Amen? You are built to soar. And the devil will lie to you about your circumstances, your situation, and your life so that you'll be a turkey all your life. But you're not. You are an eagle. And then finally, they shall walk and not faint. And the only way to do that is by faith, isn't it? Because have you ever fainted in your Christian walk? Jesus says, listen, I'll lift you up. I have I'll finish with this. I have three paintings in my house. Some of y'all have seen it. You seen these paintings? In my den, I have Calvary. Because everything starts with the cross. And if anybody tries to tell you different, you walk away in your Christian life. Now, we know it starts with Jesus and the blood, right? But what I'm saying to you is a walk in the Spirit starts with the cross. Amen? And God does His work in the cross, and I'm experiencing that. And then I have another painting called Resurrection Morning in my study. And I looked at it today, and it's just Jesus after Resurrection Morning with Martha kneeling and raising her hands to Him. And God has given you resurrection life in you and in me. We may not feel it. I haven't felt it at times. But it's there by faith, even when we're in pain. And then my last one is on wings of eagles. I think that's why God wanted me to share this. And it's just these eagles flying. Because, beloved, it is your spiritual inheritance to soar on His Spirit, His life, His strength, His ability. And you may be going through something difficult. I don't know what it is. It may be worse than me. But you were built to soar, and I believe that before this is over, God will let me soar more than I have. I don't know how. But He says He will. And you're built to soar. You are. You're not built to be a turkey. And I'm guaranteeing you, this woman's going to remind me of that this week, some point. She will remind me of that. Because she loves me. Someone said, Brother Scott's got, you know, when does this end? Was God going to heal you? I don't know. I know this, that when I die, because of the blood of Jesus and the life of Jesus, the first person I'll see is Jesus. And in this life, we will have trouble. That's what Jesus said. He said, but take courage. I've overcome the world. And then I'll finish with this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. Is your life about this temporal world? I got news for you. It's fading away. And one day your flesh is going to decay. Or is it about the kingdom of God that never ends and doesn't change based on circumstance or business or anything? Because you were built to soar. And it only comes by faith. If God will get me out of bed each day and leave me in a condition, whatever it is, I want His will best I know how. But I will share this with anyone who will listen to it. And I pray that your heart has been good soil this morning, and that the seed of the Spirit has been implanted, and that in so doing, God would have His way with you.